Ready to refresh your home for spring? Your local Kirkland store has just the thing. New spring decor has arrived. Think fresh colors, seasonal styles, and on-trend accents you'll love. Stop by today, explore what's new, and make your home feel like spring. Kirkland's Home, your neighborhood destination for spring style.
You're listening to
The Real King
with Joe and Heidi King.
If we were three ninjas right now,
yeah,
I'd be Tum Tum.
Tum Tum?
Tum Tum, not Dum Dum.
I said Tum Tum.
I thought you said Dum Dum.
If we were three ninjas right now, I'd be Dum Dum.
What are the other names?
What do you mean?
Rocky.
Is this a thing?
It's a movie.
Yeah, three
a
ninjas?
Disney movie.
With a Rocky.
You've never
and...
seen it?
No.
What is it, Rocky? And...
Have you seen Three Amigos?
No. Have you seen Three Musketeers?
Yeah.
Of
Which
course,
one?
Everybody's seen them.
I haven't.
Have you seen Robin Hood Men in Tights?
Yeah.
Remember when he's drowning in the stream?
Mm-hmm. Was it like Andre the Giant was there or something?
Yeah. So funny. There's probably, don't
Wasn't
watch
Andre
it.
Andre the Giant also in...
Inappropriate.
Princess
Bride?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he was in a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Or two. I mean, I don't know if he was in
He was in
that.
Exactly two blockbuster films. Oh, man. Well, how's it going? That's real thick. My Wisconsin accent came through there.
Do it again.
How's it going?
How's it going? It's going.
Rocky, Colt, and Tum Tum.
I'm amazed that you remember Tum Tum, like any of their names.
Can you show me a picture?
Yeah, you're going to recognize it.
I can't even see it.
Told you. Glawful.
Tum Tum, like their parents got like kidnapped or something like
Is
that.
Is it a cartoon?
No, it was a movie.
You're going to, when you.
Joe, you are showing me a, like.
A thumbnail. He's showing you a thumbnail.
Like, click on it, Mom. I can't read this at all. You did just show me the trailer and I have zero recollection of that film.
That's wild.
Yeah, I don't know.
I watched it.
Andy made me watch it like a million times.
That's so on brand for him.
I wonder if that's what started it all.
That's what
Bruce Lee started it all.
Yeah. Bruce Lee did?
Well, let's not go down that path.
Steven Seagal.
I was just thinking Steven Seagal. Not according to Andy, but like my dad watched a million Steven Seagal movies.
Do not recommend.
Your dad was my brother.
What?
Enrobed in the flesh.
Oh.
Your dad... Like, yeah. To clarify, Joe's not
it was
married
like
to his
it was
niece.
Like they were the same person.
Like, we are not in Old Testament anymore.
No.
Yeah. Joseph.
We are not in Arkansas anymore.
It was like they're the same person.
Shout out Arkansas.
Arkansas.
It is funny because I'm doing the Bible with...
Bible recap?
Yeah. With someone and... It is hilarious, our comments, because we're like, really? Like, again, an uncle? Like, why?
Can we stop with
that?
Can
we stop marrying in the family, please?
It was very normal.
It was.
It was, yeah.
It was. You know what? I actually needed Joe to explain that to me because...
You're like, what kind of messed up?
I was like, this is jacked up. Like, yeah. I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah,
but it was just the way of life back then.
It was hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
Thousands, really.
Are you ready for spring?
It's sprung.
It's oh, yeah. sprung.
Spring is sprung.
Yesterday, I took my post-service nap
because
it was Sunday.
Yeah.
And I Sabbath hard.
Yeah. Like your shoes go flying off when you enter the door.
Yeah.
Your pants directly come off.
My bra comes out my sleeve. And to be clear.
Like, Carlos, shut all the blinds.
Literally. We eat and then we're like, oh, I'm a little tired, huh? But it was really nice. It was like 78 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
I took a nap anyway, against my better judgment. And then I was restless because I had a dream where I was stressed out. And then I got up in a mood and I was like, Carlos, we just slept our whole day away because I was mad about my dream.
And I was in bed and she turned on all the lights.
Yeah, storming around the house. Yeah, we went to Irvine Park.
Oh,
we would have ran into them. Joe.
You had a divine appointment, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm, I did.
It's rare that I get to see you in, like,
you like probably thought
street evangelism.
You probably thought, oh, she must know her.
Do you know what I think is wild is that you guys went to the park exactly 3.5 minutes from my house and I didn't get a single text or phone call.
That's because we know you Sabbath hard.
And it's wild that you were in Irvine.
I know. I drove way out of my way.
Yeah.
If I call you on a Sunday, it's like a minimum of 3 hours later before I get a call back.
Do you know who calls me and will call me repeatedly?
Max. Jasmine?
Jasmine. Cece, you want to play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't take naps.
Which, you know, we're praying for her. Honest.
So I also got upset yesterday because I kept falling asleep. Okay, let me tell you what happened.
Should have just yielded to it.
I went out on the deck to sit in the sun for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I laid down on the deck for like a minute. I was on the
as
steps.
One does.
I just laid my back to the hot deck for a minute.
Sure.
Fully fell asleep. Where I like woke up like, like, what is happening? And like my skin was like on fire.
Yeah.
God only knows how long I was there.
Did you have sunburn?
And then I go in and I make some coffee.
Your neighbors were probably like, you guys.
And then I sit down, drink a cup of coffee, and I fell asleep again. And then I'm told Joe, I was like, what's going on? Something's not right.
What'd you eat for lunch?
My wrist hurts. I keep falling asleep.
She's gonna be the wrist the wrist brace lady now. You know?
No. We prayed.
We did pray multiple times.
She just worked in her garden. And that's
I rototilled.
Yeah. And she ended up with a minor wrist injury.
Which I don't know if it's from that, I'm gonna be honest, because you do nothing.
Here's the thing. We intellectually work very hard, you and I.
Correct.
And it's exhausting.
Yeah.
But physically, we are soft.
Correct, because we have desk jobs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, Carlos, can you open this milk for me? Can you lift the milk for me?
Like, my Fitbit goes off constantly. Like, you need to get your 250 steps this hour.
Mine is like, are you ready to stand up now? And I'm like, first of all, how dare you? Carlos, put this toothpaste on my toothbrush.
I think it's time I get the walking treadmill desk back, Joe.
Oh,
it's time. It is time.
We still have the stool you put on.
No, I don't.
We sold it
on the thrift sale.
The fruit sale.
Oh, I can't wreck another treadmill.
So Jasmine buys this like cube snakey thing. What's it called?
Magic snake.
Sure.
And it's like these different cubes that you put in different like... You twist them and it makes shapes, basically. And Joe was like, we buy it for her yesterday. And he's like, I wonder.
Did you just hear? No. We buy for her yesterday. You have been hanging out with Carlos too much.
But Joe literally was like, I wonder how long it's going to be before you lose all the pieces to that. And then it's on thrift sale next year.
Love that.
That was like pretty much.
Just, you should have an ongoing, ever-present thrift sale box.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that's a very good idea.
Yep. I'm an ideas person.
Yeah. You are an ideas person.
Execution? Nah. But ideas.
It's been a while since we've had like our morning idea seshs.
I know, and I have a whiteboard now.
Sesh.
Yeah. Sometimes we just like, we have a quick workshop.
Yeah, like at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. I don't know if this has anything to do with what you're going to talk about, but I saw a quote, and it reminded me of all of us in our whole lives. And it's, don't ever tell God what you'll never do, because he will have you never, he will have you nevering like you've never, ever nevered before.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People that say, I'll never have kids, always end up with kids.
Yeah.
I'll never minister in this place, and then all of a sudden they're called to missions there.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny?
Happens all the time.
Have you nevered? something that's come to pass?
Yep.
What?
Kids. Yeah. We are currently in ministry. I said I'd never be in ministry.
That's a common one from pastors' kids, I think. Yeah. Well, it depends, but because some, it's one or the other. Either the pastor's kid is like fully into it, like Max, or they're fully not into it.
And they're I was like, I'll never eat like my dad. And I can polish off a pie faster than he can now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
What about you?
Stop it. I was going to ask you first.
But I did.
I don't think I have anything.
Yeah.
Hey,
what have I nevered? I don't think.
Public speaking.
Oh, yeah.
And now she can like pulpit preach by herself.
Yeah.
Like a boss.
Last week she said something about she'll never do like the street ministry thing because she can't think of what to say. And then yesterday she ended up like an hour and a half with a lady in the park and then prayed over her.
Here's the deal. Here is the deal about street ministry for me. Am I shy to talk about God? Nope. But I'm not good at breaking the ice.
Yeah, it's hard to bring it up. I struggle with this too, because they're like, how are you? Are you from here? And I'm like, do you know Jesus?
I wish Max was here, because
So yesterday, that woman, she's the one that broke the ice with me. Mm-hmm. So like, then it was just immediate. Like, then I'm like an open book when it comes to Jesus, but like there's just a breaking of the ice moment that needs to take place.
Asked me something today and I was like, well, it says in the Bible, like she knew it. And I just.
She said like it said in the Bible?
No, she asked something.
He responded as if.
And I responded like in the Bible, like, well, it says in the Bible. And then I responded and then it was like one thing after another. And Max is standing there and I was sharing like half my testimony and then shared a bunch of yours and there was tears and there was all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So
halfway through that, I would have been like, I'm in too deep and I would have backed out.
You want to know what? It was really interesting because the way that stuff plays out is if you try to prepare for something like that, you'll overthink it and you'll have an opinion, right? Even with the lady that Heidi ministered to in the park, we later found out that we had somebody in common from like a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And Heidi goes, oh, that's so weird. And I said, yeah, but if you would have known that beforehand, you would have approached it differently. Mm. So it's supposed to be kind of like the element of surprise. Like you're not hunting for souls. You know what I mean? You're being instant in season and out. When people go out headhunting to see somebody saved, people can sense if you're sincere and genuine about wanting to see them have a better life. Or if this is like an agenda you have.
Correct. And I do think that I think if anybody is listening that does struggle with street ministry, I would put money on it that it's not the issue of talking to people about Jesus that's the problem. I bet you it's just the breaking of the ice moment.
It's the easiest part. You just go to lunch or you just go to wherever shopping and you do all the stuff that you do, right? You find your purchase. Yes. What do you do when you're eating lunch? You go to a restaurant. You wait to be seated. You sit.
Yeah.
I can be at a restaurant with a group of people from church or whatever, and I can watch them eavesdrop on other people's conversations in the booth behind them.
I love doing that.
In the moment that you're doing that, you just already put yourself in a situation to break the ice.
Eavesdropping?
Yeah, I do it all the time. Somebody will say something about something I know about, and I'll turn around and be like, hey, I don't mean to be like an eavesdropper, but you said best Mexican restaurant, and I know this place and this place are good. But like one day we were in a restaurant, And I overheard these ladies talking about cleaning products for their hard surface floors while I was talking to Heidi the whole time. And pretty soon I just...
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for five different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.
Got up, walked over the table, and I said, look, I'm not trying to be creepy or weird.
But I'm going to be creepy and weird.
I did say that.
Did you?
Yeah. I said, but I'm going to be creepy and weird. And I heard you guys talking about this product.
Everything you said about
in this product. And I own a professional cleaning company, and I would not use those products, but I would use this one. And I started to share with them why and what were the chemicals or active ingredients. And they were laughing and they were like, this is so funny. And there was like two conversations that happened out of that. There was that one. And then when I walked, when they were about to leave and they thanked me for the unsolicited information. And I got to tell them, God bless you and have a great night. Mm-hmm. So it's, you do what you went there to do, right? You're going shopping. You walk in. You look at the goods that you're interested in purchasing or not interested in purchasing. You walk around. And all of a sudden, something catches your eye. It could be somebody's bracelet or their purse or some shoes.
Okay, so that's my problem. I am like heads down. And I walk in and I'm like, Carlos, get a cart. We have something to get. And then we get the thing, and I go, Carlos, I'm going to the car. You go check out.
The only time Jesus was heads down is when he, like, went up on a mountain to pray.
I know
what I mean?
But I'm saying, like, I've thought about this myself because it's more than just breaking the ice. I just had this whole, like, monologue in my head while you were talking. And I'm like, it feels unnatural. And it was almost like God was like, that's because it's not natural. It's supernatural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're relying on your natural feelings to be comfy in a situation like that, it's not going to be the case. Maybe. I mean, you're super extroverted. There are people that are not. And so in a case where you're not the most extroverted person, it's not going to feel natural. But if you push through, then it will probably get easier. I just
keep your if you struggle with it, keep your ears open, because we have an event coming up very soon that people are going to have to sign up for, where we're actually going to do like a workshop event.
So basically me and Kristen are going to be there. We're going to be participants that day.
That's fine.
I feel like 100% we're going to be in the front row, and I'll take out
a
piece of paper and a pencil, and Joe will walk up and be like, number one, and like wipe it off the table. You don't need that. Lesson number one. Yeah.
Rely on the spirit.
Lesson number two, we're going to do
the
trust
rule
fall.
The only room in evangelism is we don't talk about evangelism.
That's so funny. No, I part of me is like almost, it's envious, but then there's another part of me that's like avoidant.
We have some young people, you know, that
I feel like that. What I feel about this is relatable. That's why I'm mentioning it.
We have some young people that are very introverted that have started going out, and especially with like Ignite. And after they get out there once or twice, they start to really take ownership because they realize it's like, it's not the battle they thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And if you have good news, that's the thing, is everybody's so quick to want to share something negative. Like, you go on social media and there's always some thread about why this restaurant should be shut down because of this, this, and this. There's very...
That was Heidi's throat.
There's very few people that jump on and be like, well, let me tell you why it's a good restaurant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've been out, like, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to a stranger in having an excellent response and a Christian walk by and decide to interject five reasons why the last three churches they went to are all wrong and just keep walking.
That's has so that strange. Happened to
yes,
you?
Yes, it has.
Do you know what I think is if I were to be like, hi, my name's Christina. How are you? Do you know Jesus? And they don't immediately respond with something super positive, I will be crushed.
Oh, the easiest way to, this is what you do. You don't approach it like that.
Okay, can we talk? Have we talked about this before?
Yeah, we have.
Are we repeating stories?
I don't know.
Because if we're not, I'm going to tell one. So we went to do a evangelism type thing like a long time ago, probably like 6-7 years ago. And I had to hype myself, right? Because I struggled with it. So I was like, all right, you can do this. Got it. Go, 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 go. Like everybody's with you, right? Like so I'm like,
in the bathroom.
I'm mentally like hyping myself. And we were at a restaurant and this woman was sitting by herself and like felt like God highlighted her. So I sat in her booth. First of all, how inappropriate. Like I should have stood on the side of the table.
She sat in her booth, grabbed a fry off her plate.
Like I sat in the booth and instead of just being like, hi, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Like just small talk. Instead of doing small talk, because I hyped myself up, I was basically like, God highlighted to me. I need to pray for you. Like it was very like, blah. You know what I'm saying? Because you spent so much time like trying to hype yourself up. And the woman, and I was like, can I pray for you? And she's like, no. And I was like, okay, cool. Cool, 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 cool. And like, I just like basically crawled back to the table that I was sitting at.
There's every pastor's got a message on at some point. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? So when you...
Say that again.
People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. So when I talk to somebody, I genuinely want to know stuff about them.
Yep.
Like total strangers. Like I'll be like, wow, it happened to me today in Quick Trip. I seen this guy had this vest with this punk rock patch on it. And I followed him in and he gave me like a look and I was like, hey, are you like from local, like around here? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, did you go to like Old Barn Punk Fest back in the day? And he's like, nope. He goes, actually, I'm from Northern Los Angeles.
So he lied.
He's like, I live here now. So we get talking about like old punk bands in Quick Trip. Max is standing there like, what's going on? And like, we're talking and he starts dropping F-bombs once he must have made it up in his mind that I was like a cool guy that knew stuff. And I just maintained. And then we were talking about, I was like, do you play music? And he's like, well, you know, I play a little bit of guitar and this and that. And he's like, you? And I was like, yeah, I do this. But I turned around, I pointed at Max and I said, but this kid has like passed me so far in drums. And I said, what's really interesting is he can play like the metal drums. He can play the punk rock drums. But I said, he plays gospel in two different churches. And I said, he's just so good. And he goes, oh man. He goes, I've been trying to get my son to step out because he only plays tabs. And he's like, I'm trying to tell him he's got to learn stuff like that. I was like, yeah, that's definitely, I'm like, my biggest regret is I didn't learn from my piano teacher. I just went for like free candy bar at the end of the lesson. I had like one of the best piano teachers in the world.
Your mom?
No, Chris Hansen.
Oh, okay.
Your mom? That's so funny.
My mom would not be the best piano teacher for me.
No, she wasn't for me either.
I didn't know you took piano with Chris.
Yeah.
Why don't you play piano?
Because I sucked at doing the practice. That's why I'm always on Jasmine. Like,
oh, he was like,
if you
really
do 19 minutes a week or a day, you'll be better than 100% of everybody else. Like, but all of a sudden his tone changed when I mentioned church and gospel. And then the conversation continued. And then we both got pulled up to the register to pay for our goods. And I paid for mine. I turned around to him. I said, hey, man, thanks for getting my wheels spinning about music today. And he's like, no, man, awesome to meet you. We get in the truck Max goes, "That's so weird." And I was like, "Why?" And he goes, "Did you know him?" And I said, "No, but there's things that people have that are in common with knowledge you have, and that's all you need." And he goes, "He was wearing this local church's t-shirt. I didn't even see it."
You know what? When I was in Madison with mom and dad because of dad's kidney transplant,
mm-hmm.
everywhere I went, there were Spanish speaking people. Mm. And I did it in Spanish.
Yeah.
Like, we were at the laundromat and I started to talk to this people. I was like, "Oh, your baby's so cute. How old is she?" In Spanish.
Yeah.
And they were like, "Oh, you know, she's like 9 months old." And I was like, "Where are you from?" And they were like, "Nicaragua." And I was like, and then I talked to them for like an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But it never got around to like,
like a spiritual thing.
Right. And then there was a few people. In fact, this lady literally gave me her number. And they own a huge ranch in Mexico. And her I talked to a little bit, where I was like, you know, I was just saying, like, we're so thankful to God that my dad got a kidney and all this stuff. And they literally said, "If you are planning a trip to Mexico, let us know. And you can come and, like, visit our family."
Wow.
And we were just at a restaurant. And, like, they kept on talking to me.
So maybe you're just, you
know. My thing is probably Spanish.
I was going to say, maybe that's your.
Yeah.
Your call.
I would say so.
Yeah.
I think the more you feel you have something good to share, the more opportunity stands out.
Mm-hmm.
So it sometimes becomes about your intimacy with God and falling in love with him. And understanding that, like, he holds your next breath, your tomorrow, so you should tell somebody about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's hard to do.
I think it's easy to take for granted.
Excuse me.
Sometimes when, like, I don't have the same type of testimony as you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to, like, I don't have anything sensational. Like, so, God snatched me from the fiery flames of hell. No, not, I mean, yes, because he did for anybody that follows him, but like, not to your degree.
I was just talking about, and you don't need it to my degree. I was just talking to two young men, helping them get their testimonies, like,
yeah,
to a place where they can tell them, and they don't have those kinds of testimonies.
I was going to say, even with all the youth right now, they probably don't have a ton of testimonies.
No, they don't.
So and, they're probably just literally bringing the gospel.
Sometimes they don't know their testimonies. I've had
I feel like mine's still in progress. Process.
I've had three people in the last week, that young people, that prophetically things came out of me while talking to them that drew their testimony out.
Interesting.
Where I would be talking and all of a sudden explaining to him, "This is what I do." And all of a sudden I would literally say something like, "You can identify through this to somebody." And then they kind of looked at me and then said, "I got free of that." Like, mm-hmm. That exactly. And I was like, "See, you have a testimony."
Yeah.
If you were ever exposed to pornography between the ages of 3 years old and what the age you are now, and you no longer look at it, or you had a great disgust for it when you seen it, you have a testimony. If
like
you ever meet, if you ever meet somebody, yeah, struggling with gender identity, struggling with just their identity, period. Where they're looking for something, often times I meet somebody that's struggling in those areas. They've had a struggle with sexuality, or somebody did something to them, or they were exposed to something they shouldn't have been, and that's had a lasting impact that makes mm-hmm. them question everything. And it adds, because of that seed of perversion, it adds perversion to how they look at themselves in the mirror, how they compare themselves to other people. So if you've ever struggled with anything like that,
mm-hmm.
if you did not want to take your driver's test because it made you anxious and you thought you were going to fail, and you took it and you passed, you have a testimony about overcoming anxiety. You know, so mm-hmm. we look at things that we think are life events And they're actually testimonies. A testimony is not just the power of God miraculously showing up in your life and getting you out of a situation. David's testimonies.
You're just testifying to God's goodness.
You're testifying that, like, God gave me the life in this body and the strength to overcome. David testified before.
Hair piles in the house.
She said her hair was just everywhere.
At Rough Greens, we know dogs need live nutrition just like we do.
We have had a lot of issues with her skin.
Sometimes itching and scratching, lack of energy, digestive issues, they're not medical issues at all, but more likely they're nutritional deficiencies from eating dead food.
A lot of the nutrients just aren't there anymore.
The good news is you don't have to change your dog's food to improve your dog's health. Simply add a scoop of Rough Greens and make even the best dog food better.
I was truly amazed how fast it worked.
One of the most noticeable things is her coat doesn't have the itching.
It doesn't shed as much.
It wasn't even 2 weeks that I saw a drastic improvement.
We're so confident that your dog will love Rough Greens that we're going to let them try it before you buy it. Free. Just cover the shipping. Get your free bag of Rough Greens today at ruffgreens.com. That's ruffgreens.com.
I wish we would have found Rough Greens a lot sooner.
So good, your dog will ask for it by name.
For Saul, and he said, "My God delivered me from both the lion and the bear. Surely he'll deliver me from the Philistine." How did God deliver him from those animals? He went out, he took him by the beard, and he killed him. There was no angel standing there clubbing him. There was nothing. And then he's like, surely he'll deliver me from the Philistine. Does it say that an angel came down and descended right now and grabbed David by the hair and drug him out into the pond and set, or the babbling brook and said, now find the right rock, David? No, it didn't happen that way. He got up and he said, "I can't wear your armor, Saul, because it's way too big and I'm not that size." He went out, he went to the brook, and he found 5 smooth stones and he picked them out. And then what did he do? He went out and Goliath talked some smack and then he let one rip and bang, that guy hit the ground. David went and got his sword, lopped off his head, and then they took David with the head of Goliath to King Saul. Nowhere in that testimony did an angel appear and miraculously get David out of anything.
Mm-hmm.
God gave him courage in his own abilities. He gave him confidence in the physical abilities that he had to be able to have that testimony. So sometimes the fact that you even had the ability or the thought process to accomplish something is a huge testimony that God's working in your life, because there's so many people right now that are a slave to anxiety. They don't even leave their house anymore.
Right.
You know, they can't leave without like an emotional support animal, which I'm with it, man. Like, I get it. But the fact of the matter is we have to get to a place where we understand we have testimonies. You overcome by the word of your testimony. So if that person that struggles in that area all of a sudden tomorrow wakes up and goes, "You know what? I'm walking to the mailbox today."
You know what it is? Is that the devil wants you to think that it's not good enough to share.
Yeah.
Like, it's not valid. Like, because you say this all the time. It doesn't have to be like a whole big thing. It can be like you had a good thing happen this week and you can share that with somebody.
Yeah.
And I think it's easy to overthink it.
Most people don't need a like God raised the dead story right now.
Right.
Like, they need a...
Well, for some people, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And like, not in a good way. That is what they... Like, it's on... Like, they don't believe it.
Right.
For some people. Like, that's why...
Like, they're skeptical.
The mix of testimonies is good, because some people wouldn't be able to receive from a raise from the dead type of thing. They'd be like, nah.
But, yeah. But they can receive, like, that girl that you ran into, like, at the Mall of America, where you're like, "Oh, I was told I couldn't have kids, and I have 2. Remember that?
No.
Wasn't that Mall of America?
No, it was Eau Claire.
Where? What?
I thought it was the Mall of America.
Oh, yeah. No, it was our mall.
Oh, it would have been a better story if it was Mall of America.
Yeah. There's, it is, it, like, see, that one felt very, like, I've been reading Old Testament says the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. Mm-hmm. Like, there's moments, like, I know that we're not Old Testament anymore, and I know that the Spirit lives in me, and he's here all the time, but there are moments where I feel like just, like, something shifts.
You know,
yeah.
The other thing is Scripture is specific. In Revelation, it says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
The shed blood of Jesus, the finished work of the cross. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Sometimes it's just given the blood of the Lamb first.
Yeah.
Do you know where you're going tomorrow if you die? Christians have made that.
Do you ask those questions?
Yeah.
See, like, that's like where I would probably blurt.
Why not? If that's the first thing that comes to mind, that's what God wanted to hear.
I don't trust myself.
Like, if like, I like walked up to a stranger and was like, do you know where you're going to go if you die tomorrow?
So you never just lead off with that. Like, hey, I'm ready. Like
after you're talking for a while.
So the small talk. It's small talk. Like people.
It's interesting how just the simplest, like, that's an interesting sweatshirt. What does that mean? That's an interesting sweatshirt, Heidi. What does it mean?
Oh, like you're actually doing it live right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, read it.
Okay, it's Lifestyle Christianity.
What does that mean?
It is a sweatshirt that Todd White's ministry makes.
What does a lion have to do with it?
What does it mean? This is where we get fluid, is like knowing like, hey, I put on a Yeshua shirt today. That lady yesterday was like, what does that mean? And I said, oh, it means Jesus. It's also like a Hebrew meaning or Hebrew word for savior. And she was like, Hebrew. I'm like, yeah, Hebrew. It's Yeshua. Oh, okay. But that opens the door, right?
I would have had hurt feelings immediately.
I see people all the time and like they might have something on their shirt or a pair of shoes. And I'm like, hey, where did you get those shoes? There's a girl that I've been trying to witness to at Menards that runs a till. And the first time I talked to her, I was going through the line. I was in a hurry and I looked down and I said, you have good shoe game. And she was like, thanks. Mm-hmm. And she goes, I just got these. And I was like,
when you're a sneakerhead, like you're all into it. And like so few people are that probably made her whole day.
Well, and then it was like not even 3 days later, I end up back in there. And I was like, there you go with that shoe game again. And now she recognizes me.
Mm-hmm.
Now when I go in there, she'll tell me if she just got a new pair of sneakers.
Wow.
She's living in an adverse lifestyle to procreation. She is living in a same-sex relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a threat to my God.
Right.
That is not a threat to my character or the message of the gospel and the good news. So I will continue to talk to her with love in my heart and a message of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And whichever way she decides to go with that conversation is up to her, but we all have to make a decision.
Right.
We either have to choose life or death, but I'm going to continue to bring the conversation of life, right? Will I ever condone the sinful lifestyle? Absolutely not. I will never condone that because I know what that'll land her in. And
but you can love people in spite of those things. And the people that say you can't, that's untrue because like if anybody's ever had a fat friend, right? Like you can overlook or like a friend with a drinking problem or you know what I mean? Like you can overlook or look beyond their faults and see the person.
Yeah. I'll never be like I have a gal at the bank and one day she was telling me about the trip her and her wife just took and Max was with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell she was trying to like emphasize her same-sex relationship over and over in the conversation.
Yeah.
And I just kept drawing it away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought up my favorite restaurants in the place that they went.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't address the other woman as her wife. I didn't condone any part of it by any means with my behavior. Did I come out and say, hey, you're going to go to hell for that? I didn't feel led by God to do that yet, because I feel like there's a door open to have conversation now.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to continue to plant seed, water seed. And the last conversation I had with her was about church. And because I've been so casual in just getting to know her, she wasn't threatened about me talking about church. She wasn't threatened at all.
Right.
In fact, now that I have that door open, every time I talk about church or Christianity or my personal relationship with Jesus in front of her, I pray that it brings peace to her spirit, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and that will bring confirmation to her spirit.
Yeah.
If there's an antichrist spirit there, I may meet some opposition, but right now I have upper hand, because that could affect her job to throw attitude at me and get mad. So I don't think she'd get too upset with me, you know, unless we're outside of that place where she's got to be in service to me. Am I trying to manipulate somebody by doing that? No, but I'm going to use the opportunity to plow ground to plant seed. And in the meantime, I love her more than 90% of the people that walk past her, because they'll not mention the name of Jesus Christ. They'll not mention the church that they go to or anything else. They'll just judge her because of the colors that she keeps dyeing her hair. You know what I mean? They're probably like, oh, she's really liberal. I'm like, well, you know what? Jesus died for her.
Yep.
She's just got to accept and receive it.
No matter what her hair color is.
But in the meantime, I'm going to keep hitting that nail in the head until it's completely driven in. And God willing, we're going to see another soul saved for the kingdom.
So really what people need to focus on, like if we were to give a takeaway, it's like, you don't go into it like guns blazing per se, unless you're led to, but just look, like for me, I'm like, I need to look up.
Yeah.
Engage people and just get to know the people around me.
Yeah.
I need to be aware and not avoidant.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to have a debate, you know, if we're doing street ministry and somebody wants to have a actual debate with me, usually that's somebody that's got a history.
Yeah.
You know, they've got like a church hurt or something.
But your encounters that you're talking about are like at the grocery store or at the park or something like that. And it's like, you're just visiting with people, and then the conversation naturally goes in the direction of you being able to share.
If God called me to just go about my life and talk to people about Jesus today, and a debate comes to me, usually I take that as that's something the enemy put in my path to distract me from getting to where I'm going to tell people good news.
Yeah.
So here's my phone number. Let's actually schedule a time to sit and have a conversation. I'll buy your breakfast, right? I'm not going to sit and stop what I'm doing to argue doctrine or something like that, you know? Because right now there's like this big push because of social media where a lot of these younger men that I'm running into are somehow fallen into this foolish trap of trying to read the apocalyptic books, you know, the book of Eli and all this stuff like that. And the problem I have with that is, one, they're not doing anything with the Bible they have. They're like, these are missing books. We need to add them back. Why?
Right.
Because they say that judgment's coming and this and that, and like people are going to pay for their sin. And I'm thinking, you don't even read the Bible you have, but you're trying to get fresh, edgy knowledge about things. But I keep telling these people the same thing. I've read some of that stuff, and the reason why I can't carry that, steward it, or give it to anybody is because all those books say these people are going to get what they deserve. Judgment is going to come. They're going to burn. Bad things are going to come.
we should never delight in that fact.
No.
Because it breaks God's heart.
Yep.
And when I hear somebody say something like that, they're focused. They're looking forward to it. They Absolutely. Want somebody to pay.
And I
that
told to you me, so.
That to me is that person has unresolved conflict and unresolved issues that they right. need some inner healing to work through. Because our goal should not be to stand there with your arms folded at the end and be like, told you. So.
Yeah. Well, this is my take on it.
Mm-hmm.
When you have books that really emphasize the destruction and all this stuff, but when you go through the Gospels, you know, and you read Jesus's take with the Beatitudes and all this stuff, the meek shall inherit the earth, the people that know what they're capable of, but they don't take it out on people, they're going to inherit the earth. Jesus is constantly putting out a message that says, you're deserving of all this, mm-hmm. but I'm going to give you this.
Yeah.
You're deserving of eternal damnation,
mm-hmm.
but I'm going to give you eternal salvation.
Right.
You know, so it's like right now there's this big push to have this knowledge or this revelation of these mystery books and stuff, but those things all lead to judgment, and vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We're not to have a seat of judgment. We judge not lest ye be judged. Everybody yeah. loves to use that verse.
They need a heart check.
Right.
They need. Yeah.
And in this day and age, that's what we need. Those are the types of people that usually will stop to try and debate.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to debate that. I want to talk about good news. I want to have a conversation that speaks life into a generation. I want to have a conversation with my fellow Christians that doesn't say, I don't know what the church is going to do. This next generation is so wayward. Man, they said that about your generation.
There's an argument to be made that this generation is not wayward, but I heard somebody say this generation, like Gen Z and younger, they want Jesus of Galilee. They want Jesus on the riverbank. They don't need the big production. They don't need the, like the colored lights and the show. They don't want it. They're like, turn all the lights on, open all the windows. Mm-hmm. Let's literally have church on the lawn and let's like sing for hours and hours and worship God. Like that's the type of.
They were born out of a concert generation. They don't feel freedom in a concert because their parents, you know, the parents were the generation that their captivity was that, mm-hmm. right? Oh, mom and dad are going to drag us to another Petra concert.
Petra.
Yeah. Mom and dad.
Petra.
We're going to drag us to a Newsboys concert. Or
Stephen
or
Curtis Chapman.
Mom and dad, they're taking our whole vacation to go to Love Fest. You know what I mean? And it's like, that generation has seen the lights, the shows, the smoke machines.
And then they've seen people be disingenuous and not live up to.
So now they want purity.
Yeah.
They want simple.
They want real.
They want a kiss. Keep it simple, stupid.
I thought you meant an actual smooch.
Mm-mm.
Heidi, you got some. By the way, I feel like this went in a direction sort of naturally. I don't know if what you had anything to do with this.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'll read it.
Heidi, what do you got?
Well, when Joe, you know, was like tacking me over my sweatshirt.
He was like, what is this, a drill? Like an evangelism drill.
That I think is important pieces because, like, not only is, like, one of the takeaways is to, like, just look up and make small talk with people, but it's also, like, practice this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not everything is going to come natural.
No.
Like, so, again, we kind of go back to Joe a million times because he's just Mr. It's second nature to him.
Yeah.
It's not second nature to a lot of people. And so, even though it's good to rely on the Spirit, you can still do some homework. And you can still make sure that you know how to answer a question if someone asks you.
Literally, and how to ask questions that are not yes or no questions.
Yeah.
Just being a good conversationalist, you can find a lot of resources for that.
Yeah. When he was going through the sweatshirt thing, like my brain is like, wow. Right. But then it's like, okay, what if this was a complete stranger asking me about my sweatshirt? And 2 Peter 3:15 comes to me where it says, but in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you, but do it courteously and respectfully.
Hmm. So when I was doing that though, you know, we're always projecting. We put an image out there that we want people to perceive, to receive. You know, so like you wear a lot of like faith.
That's all I wear. Based
shirts, basically. Right? Mm-hmm. So if I were to be like, I look and it's got a lion on it.
Yeah.
And it says lifestyle Christianity.
Yeah.
And if I were to say,
hey, Todd, if you're listening,
what is lifestyle of Christianity? My answer would probably be, well, scripture says to do everything as unto the Lord. Even this conversation I'm having with you, I wouldn't want to treat you any less than I would treat Jesus if he was standing in the room.
And that, my friend, is just a round of applause response.
Yeah.
No.
No, but it's that kind of stuff where if you wear Christian shirts or if you're trying to like step out and just like talking to people about Jesus and stuff, it is good to like think about some questions that they're going to ask you and think about proper responses to answer them with.
Yeah.
Because what if somebody wore a Yeshua shirt but didn't actually know that what Yeshua meant?
Right.
So a woman would have came up and asked them, and they're like, honestly, I don't know.
So I Christians,
we wear faith shirts all the time.
Yeah.
Christians always go, love your shirt. There's not much to be had in that conversation. They're affirming and getting affirmation in what they believe by what they're reading on your shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that has no clue about it, that's been staring at the front of you for 10 minutes trying to figure it out. They're waiting for you to turn around so they can read and see if there's something on the back.
Which this
explain
one?
Explain it.
Is this one that? No, I have. Yeah, is it? Is there something on the back of my sweatshirt?
Yeah.
Does it say "No Jesus, No Peace"? What does it say?
No, it says "My
life belongs to Jesus."
There you go.
Your microphone was in the way.
I should have just turned around and gave you the answer, Joe.
We were just at a event, and one of the local pastors in the area sat down next to me. And I had never met him, but I knew who he was. He didn't know who I was. And he just, like, he was one of these natural conversationalists.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, what's your name? I was like, first of all, stranger danger. But I knew who he was. I bristle a little bit. And I was like, it's Christina. That's it. Like, I didn't go, what's your name? I never did ask him his name. And he's like, so, the conversation didn't stall because he kept it going. But I realized after the fact, like, I'm the problem here. Do you know what I mean? Because he was like, so what do you do for work? And I was like, I have a job. Like, I'm exaggerating how like dumb my responses were, but mm-hmm. I freezed.
Yeah.
I froze.
Yeah.
And I panicked.
Yeah.
I've been thinking for the past 5 minutes, if somebody asks me about my gray t-shirt, what am I going to say? Oh, it's gray like the smoke's coming from the flames of hell.
That's funny. So the last couple days, like yesterday in worship, I heard the word ransom.
Ooh.
And then I pulled it up in the 1820, and it says, the money or price paid for the redemption of a prisoner or slave, or for goods captured by an enemy, that which procures the release of a prisoner or captive, or of captured property, and restores the one to liberty and the other to the original owner. I was thinking about how when an American citizen gets kidnapped or something, mm-hmm. you know, somebody in another country thinks, oh, this rich government will approach them and send them a demand and they'll pay the ransom. Our government will never do that because they know that if they pay one, those people groups will now think that they can make a business out of it. That if they'll pay for one of their citizens, they'll pay for all their citizens and they'll start to capitalize on that. So our government is willing to sacrifice the life of one so that it doesn't become common practice for many, right? Yeah. They're not going to pay a ransom for you. Mm-hmm. They probably won't even let your family pay a ransom for you. They'll be like, we can't negotiate with terrorists.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, in 1 Peter 1:18, it says, you must know, recognize that you were redeemed, ransomed from the useless, fruitless way of living inherited by tradition from your forefathers. Mm. Not with corruptible things such as silver and gold. Most silver and gold is blood money. Mm-hmm. It's corruptible. You must know, recognize that you were redeemed, ransomed from the useless, fruitless way of living inherited by tradition from your forefathers, mm-hmm. not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, the Messiah, like that of sacrificial lamb without blemish or spot. It is true that he was chosen, foreordained, destined, and foreknown for it before the foundation of the world, but he was brought out to public view, made manifest in these last days at the end of times for the sake of you. You were ransomed. You know, that's what God's been speaking to me for 2 days now, that he paid the price and he put not only that precious blood on display to pay the price, but just like if he were to ransom and take a prisoner back and pay the amounts demanded, not only did he do that, but then when he brought me back into my rightful place as a free man, he said, I'm going to equip you. I'm going to equip you for reconnaissance. I'm going to fill you with my spirit. I'm going to give you the tools of spiritual warfare. I'm going to give you prophecy, dreams, visions, the word of God, the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Your feet are shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith and the sword of the spirit. I'm going to equip you to go behind enemy lines to let them know that the ransom has already been paid and you can bring them back. We're on a reconnaissance mission. These people don't know that the ransom's already been paid. They don't owe anything. These things, this captivity has no power over them anymore. It doesn't have ownership of them anymore because it's been paid off, right? Mm-hmm. If we get that deep down in our spirit, then we'll start to look at people as what they are, prisoners and captives to something. And we're walking around here completely filled with all the defense or offensive measures that we need to bring them back into righteousness, that reconciliation.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're missing. And if that becomes a natural, normal part of our language, we don't have to think much about it. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody in front of you is either spirit-filled with the spirit of Christ, or they're spirit-filled with the spirit of Antichrist. Spillert. Yeah. Spillert. Everybody around you, everybody that ends up in front of you, Spillert.
Spillert-filled. That's so funny. Oh, man. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so get filled with the Spillert.
That's right.
Spillert-filled.
Spill it. Spill it out your mouth. Tell them all the good news. Spill it. Come on. Tighten up that bolt of truth and spill it right out your mouth.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We are so blessed to have the privilege to share with you. If you haven't already, please connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us by searching at The Real King Podcast. That's at T-H-E, Real King Podcast. The Real King Podcast is recorded in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It is hosted by Joe and Heidi King, who are joined each week by Christina Santamaria as a moderator and contributor. It is produced and edited by Joe and Heidi King and Carlos and Christina Santamaria. All content is under copyright and all rights are reserved.